Hey, what's up, Cub fans? Welcome to episode 86 of Locked On Cubs. I'm your host, Ryan Davis of the Sporting News, Athletic, Bet Chicago, Cubs Insider, and the Cloud City Chronicle, bringing you this Tuesday edition of Locked On Cubs, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. At least it's every day when we don't have a big wrench thrown into the plans. Yesterday, if you didn't see the tweet on Twitter from the Locked On Cubs account, I woke up planning to record a podcast, but without power after a big storm in my area the night before. So, I wasn't able to record a podcast without any power. That would not have worked. So I'm bringing you this one. The Cubs took 2 out of 3 in Pittsburgh. We don't need to talk about that specifically because you that's been a while ago and you've already seen that. But they did get a big game one win over the Milwaukee Brewers that we'll talk about. If you want a refresher on what happened with the Pittsburgh Pirates over the weekend, you can go check out the weekly review from Mike Banghart at LockedOnCubs.com. So the Cubs beat the Brewers in game one. Jose Quintana pitched well once again, going 6 innings and allowing just 2 earned runs on 4 hits. The Cubs trailed into the 8th inning, but they were down 2-1. They were able to come back against Josh Hader, which is something not really any teams have been able to do. I think the Brewers were 21-0 in games in which Hader had pitched coming into Monday's game. It was none other than Jason Hayward who smoked a 107-mile-an-hour exit velocity single to right field that scored Ben Zobrist from second base, tying the game. That was an interesting play. Ryan Braun, who doesn't have a lot of experience at first base, ended up cutting off the ball as it was heading to home plate, and Zobrist, may have been out if he doesn't cut off the ball. I mean, it probably would have taken a perfect hop because the ball was going to hit the ground, a perfect hop to the catcher who probably needed to catch it cleanly and put the tag down immediately. But Zobrist looked like it was a 50-50 kind of play where he could have been out at home plate. But as it stands, Braun cut it off, and the game was tied, and it would stay that way until the 11th inning. When the Cubs pounded out 5 runs and took the game 7-2. So tonight, the Brewers and Cubs will play game 2 of their 3-game set in Milwaukee. Tyler Chatwood will face Chase Anderson at 7:10 p.m. Central Time, and it will be broadcast on NBC Sports Chicago. Probably Chatwood's best start of the season has come against the Brewers when he went 7 innings with 2 hits, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts with 0 earned runs back in April. Anderson has had quality starts in each of his last 3 games against the Cubs, but somehow has lost all 3. He has allowed just 9 hits and 3 earned runs in 13 innings against the Cubs in 2018. Let's go to our second segment where we'll discuss a little bit of what's going on with Chris Bryant and what's going on with the Cubs lately and why things are important as they stand right now with the Cubs, the Brewers, and the Cardinals. So Chris Bryant, his last 90 plate appearances, is hitting .240 with a .333 on base and a .291 slugging percentage. That includes going 0-for-11 with 2 walks in his last 3 games. And he really just looks lost at the plate lately, and that's frustrating to have to see. Even when a pitcher is struggling and the rest of the Cubs team is putting together good at-bats, walking, barreling up a ball, Bryant seems to be really just unable to square it up, and it's just not fun. I mean, when he comes up to the plate, it's just not fun to watch. He's had a few games where he's hit some singles. He still draws the occasional walk. He's been hit by a pitch a few times, but on the whole, Bryant has not been able to square up the ball lately, and it's, you don't want to have to feel that way when he comes to the plate because he is the best hitter on this team. And it's really become kind of a prolonged stretch now where he's been doing this. It's about 19 games. So it's not just a small stretch where a batter is struggling. This is a prolonged stretch. Now, of course, it could just be a blip in the middle of the season. There's no reason to believe at this point that there is something wrong with Chris Bryant. It's just not a whole lot of fun. The good news is that during this 19-game stretch where Bryant has struggled, the Cubs are also 13-6. Overall, the Cubs are now 22-10 in their last 32 games. I commented a while back that they needed to have one of those streaks, and that's exactly what they're doing. They needed to do a 20 out of 25 or a 22 out of 32 kind of game stretch. And the talent gap between the Cubs and the rest of the division isn't as stark as it was in 2016, and probably not even as much as it was in the second half of 2017. So it's important. The Brewers are good, and they're going to stick around. The Cardinals seem hell-bent on keeping up, too. And that means that the Cubs can't slouch their way to a weak first half, and so far they haven't. The Cubs now have the best record in the National League and are on pace for around 97 or 98 wins. I think that range, between 96 and 100, is what should be expected of this team. And that's probably what it takes to comfortably win the NL Central, because I do believe the Brewers are going to get close to or right around that 90-win marker. I think to win less than 90 at this point for them would be a major disappointment, considering what they're on pace for. You know, they're only a half game behind the Cubs and really just percentage points in the standings. So if the Cubs are on pace for 97, 98, that means the Brewers are on pace for 95, 96. So if they win 88 games, that's pretty much but essentially a 500 season the rest of the way. So that would be a big disappointment for them. I don't think the Cardinals get really much more than 85 to 88 wins out of this team, but I do think the Brewers could win, you know, 92, 93 games. I think that's realistic. So, you know, the Cubs don't need 100 wins to have, you know, to squeak by with the division. I don't think they need to win 100 games to win the NL Central. I think maybe 95 seals it up. But if the Cubs win 95 and the Brewers win 93, are they resting starters down the stretch? No, they're going to be going full, you know, pedal to the metal, getting this thing wrapped up in the final days of the season. So that's why it's important that the Cubs continue on this pace and really start to put distance between themselves and the Brewers. The Brewers need starting rotation help, and I think they will get it. Junior Guerra has been really good this year for the Brewers, which has been a big surprise, and they're going to get Jimmy Nelson back in the second half at some point. But Chase Anderson and Zach Davies haven't been able to repeat their performances from 2017, and my suspicion is that the Brewers will make a trade for a starting pitcher before the trade deadline. The other question mark for the Milwaukee is their bullpen, which you may be surprised to hear me saying that, considering that they've been the best unit in all of baseball, despite what happened on Monday. For as much as I talk about concerns with overusing guys like Steve Cishek in the Cubs bullpen, the Brewers have really abused Josh Hader, Jeremy Jeffress, Dan Jennings, Matt Albers, a whole bunch of guys. They have an incredibly deep bullpen, but they need more innings from their starters if they're not going to burn out Hader by the end of the season. Since we're looking ahead at the standings, let's just finish the second segment on this one thing where we talk a little bit about the NL wild card. It's beginning to narrow down to just a few teams. The Nats and the Braves are fighting over first place in the NL East, and one of those two teams will hold the second wild card spot with the Brewers in the first one at this point. The Cardinals are just a half game back of the second wild card, and the Phillies are just three back. So it seems pretty likely that one, if not both, of the Brewers and the Cardinals could be in the postseason this year. So if the Cubs end up with the best record in the NL, that could mean a National League Division Series rematch from 2015 with the Cardinals or a series with the Brewers. If the Nats or another team end up having the best record in the league, everything could just fall right for the Cubs to have an NLCS against the Brewers or the Cardinals. That's looking really far ahead, but I just like thinking about that because I feel like it would be a lot of fun. The rivalry between the Cubs and the Cardinals deserves more playoff matchups, and really, I think for a lot of Cub fans, the 2015 NLDS was one of the big highlights of being a Cubs fan. Obviously, winning the World Series is a big highlight, but you know, do you view the NLDS victory over the Washington Nationals higher than beating the Cardinals in 2015? No, I don't think many Cubs fans do. So that was kind of a watershed moment in the franchise, was overcoming the Cardinals in the postseason. Other things that I think could be fun, if the Cubs played the Brewers in the NLCS, they could potentially be getting seven home games, which, hey, You take that, right? All right, let's go ahead and close out with our third segment around the NL Central. So we do know that the Cubs beat the Brewers, which vaults them into first place for the first time by themselves since April 30th. It's important to note that the Cubs are now 8-1 in 9 games against the Brewers this season. The St. Louis Cardinals had very little trouble with the San Diego Padres on Monday, winning 5-2 at home. Jack Flaherty had another strong game for the Cards, who got home runs from Jose Martinez, Marcell Ozuna, and Jed Jerko. The Pittsburgh Pirates took a 5-0 lead into the bottom of the 7th against the Arizona Diamondbacks, but they allowed 9 runs in their final 2 innings and lost 9-5. That actually, it should be pointed out, started out because I think one or two of the Pittsburgh Pirates players got hit by a pitch, and Joe Musgrove, you may remember from the Cubs kind of dust up with the Pirates recently, went out there and plunked Micah Owings, I think, leading off the bottom of the 7th inning to stand up for his teammates and send a point to the Arizona Diamondbacks, who by all accounts probably weren't hitting the Pirates on purpose, but Musgrove took it upon himself to go out there and make a point by plunking the first batter he faced in the 7th. And not only did that run come across, they ended up scoring 9 runs and winning the game. So if you believe in karma, the Pirates kind of got what they were asking for in that game by trying to police something that really probably wasn't a big deal. The Reds were off on Monday, but they will begin a set with the Kansas City Royals tonight. And here are the updated NL Central standings, which I know all you Cub fans were waiting to hear. The Cubs are in first place, a half game up on the Brewers with a 38-25 record. That's also the best record in the National League. The Brewers are now 4-6 in their last 10 games and are 39-27. The Cardinals are 2.5 back of the Cubs at 36-28. The Pirates are 7.5 back now, 32-34. And the Reds are 16.5 back at 23-43. Thanks again for listening, guys. I'll be back again tomorrow, hopefully with another podcast for you guys, looking at game 2 of this 3-game set with the Brewers. My name again is Ryan Davis. You can find me on Twitter at Ryan Q Davis. I'm also on Twitter with the Locked On Cubs Twitter account at Locked On Cubs. You can email the podcast at lockedoncubs@gmail.com. Thanks, guys. I will talk to you again tomorrow.